You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
You know, in going over some of the things and reading you guys' testimonies that are coming in of what God has done in your life over the last 25 years or whatever time you've been here, it's amazing to see what God has done. He's amazing. And even when I was going back to even look over my own life to write testimony, I think I ended up with five or something like that, that I had to just sit down and start thinking back on the process of it and all the things that God has done. And it's amazing. It's amazing. One of the things, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself tonight, but one of the things I've been praying for pastors here lately is that their obedience is a door for those who shall believe, and that as they obey God, it makes a doorway for us. It makes a doorway for those who are yet to come to be a part of us, that as they continue to follow God, follow the vision, the plan of God, that as they obey Him, their obedience provides a doorway for the rest of us. Amen? And so it provided a doorway for Raquel and Brian, you know, to come to a place that she didn't think she wanted to be. Hallelujah. In the backwoods by the railroad track. And for some of you that just come because you've been in this building only, we were over off of Maple Street for many years, and you really had to want to be there because it wasn't just on the, it was off the beaten path, not on the beaten path. But God has done some miraculous things in a little A-frame building and brought us all together. So we're celebrating this year 25 years of their obedience to God and what He's done in all of our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. And 25 and beyond. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, let me pray. Glory to God. Father, we just come to You tonight, and I just thank You for the privilege of coming together, Father, around Your word. I thank You, Father, that we lift up our voices to You tonight in prayer and praise and honor and thanksgiving to You tonight. Father, we just thank You for Your love and kindness and Your tender mercies towards us. Father, I thank You for Your holy, precious, written word, that as we look into Your word tonight regarding the subject that You have me to minister on tonight, I thank You that the Holy Ghost will illuminate it. He will open it up to us tonight. Show us wondrous things in the word. Father, I thank You for utterance tonight in the Holy Ghost, that I might speak boldly as I ought to speak. I thank You, Father, I have an unction by the Holy Ghost to speak tonight. Father, I thank You for Your anointing being on me to be able to speak Your word. Father, I thank You that as we trust in You, Father, we will lean not to our own understanding. In all of our ways tonight, we acknowledge You, and You will direct our paths in this message tonight. We're so grateful. Father, I'm so grateful that You're my very own Father. You're our very own Father, and we are Your very own children. And I thank You, Father God, for Your presence here tonight in the person of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, help us. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you like receiving gifts? Yes. Hallelujah. Guys, go ahead and put that picture up. Glory to God. And so Pastor asked me to minister along a certain line tonight. So as I was studying, I started looking online. It reminded me of a story. Dana Schrader, she was Dana Zile at the time. She was very intimidated, like we all are, of Dr. Mary Frances Varallo. And so she wanted to do something nice for her. And so she went and bought a gift, and the wrapping that she put up was very elaborate. I mean, you could see here in this picture, big bows and, you know, very shiny and all of that. And hers, I mean, was over the top. I mean, she had to spend a lot of money just on the wrapping for the gift that she gave her. And so when she gave it to her and presented it to her, she was so enamored with the wrapping that she delayed opening the gift. And so Dana was waiting for the payoff for the gift, but she was just, look at this, and she was showing people, look at this wrapping, look at this bow, look at the tag, you know, all of this. And Dana's on the inside going, open the gift, open it up. And so we're not to be enamored with the wrapping. The value is in what's inside. Amen? And so if you look in this picture, there are five gifts that are listed that are in that picture. And let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We love gifts. You know, and a lot of times we wrap them and do that kind of thing with them to hide them from my children so they can't see what's on the inside. But it says here in Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 8, therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fulfill all things. Verse 11, and he gave some, he himself gave some, to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The Amplified says of that verse, it says, and his gifts to the church were varied. He himself appointed them. So he was the one that gave the gifts to the church. The Message Bible says he handed out gifts. So as he was ascending on high, he handed out gifts. So as he was going to the Father, he left us a gift. He left us gifts. The Voice translation says, it was the risen one who handed down to us such gifted teachers. And the Good News translation says, it was he who gave gifts to people. He appointed some. So he gave gifts. And in this verse, what gifts did he give? He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And even though he gave us five gifts, and in this picture that I found today, there's five gifts represented, there is one particular gift that we will have constant contact with in our lifetime to receive from. Now, all of these gifts, all five gifts, he left to us. But interesting enough, the office of pastor, or the gift of the pastor, is the one that he talks about the most throughout the New Testament, and even in some passages in Ezekiel and Jeremiah in the Old Testament. But he talks about the office of pastor more elaborately or in more detail. So even though we have five gifts, and you know, even here, pastors have it on their heart at different times to have guest ministers to come in to minister to us, because they are gifts that were given to us. At certain times, they may have a special message or something that God downloaded on the inside of them, and something that we might need necessarily at that time. So that's why we have guest ministers in, and when they see it necessary that we need to partake of that particular gift. And so when that gift comes, we esteem it. We, you know, we pray for it. When that gift comes, they leave here dry, because we get everything out of them that we can get. We get greedy when they come. All right. But just like we do that when new gifts or different gifts come, we should do that in partaking of the gift that we have all the time. Amen. And I know, because they're with us all the time, sometimes it's familiar and, you know, okay, we're going to church again. But coming in, looking at it fresh and anew every time, that God has a fresh word for me today. He has something that he wants to say to me. They can be up here ministering and saying something about marriage, and you get something about prosperity, because the Holy Ghost through them is teaching you. Over in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, it says, the anointing teaches you. So they can be up here flowing in the anointing, but the anointing is teaching you in another way. And you'll come up and say, Pastor, I thank you. I appreciate you saying such and such. And go, I didn't say that. What did you get that from? You got it from the anointing. As they were obedient and preaching and teaching, the anointing was teaching you. Amen. Hallelujah. So even though we have these five gifts, and that's where we get in this passage in Ephesians chapter 4, the fivefold ministry gifts. If you've heard that before, that terminology, fivefold, is not in the Bible. And the reason why we say it is because it's listed there, five gifts in that passage. So that gift of the pastor is the one that we partake of the most. Go ahead and put up that other picture. And so this is the office of pastor. This is the gift of the pastor. And it says on the tag, a gift for you. And so when Jesus ascended on high, he left that gift for you. He left that gift for me. Again, there's no other office that we see that he's broken down or taught about in detail like he did with the pastor's office. Let's look at Jeremiah 3:15. Jeremiah 3:15. And he says here in this passage, you know, when I was first coming into the body of Christ, I was saved when I was 12, but nobody could tell me what happened to me. I was in a revival and went down, shook the preacher's hand, and got baptized in water, cold water, in October in a creek, you know. And so when we came inside, there was a poster up on the wall that was the Apostles' Creed. And when I was reading that, it talked about how we believe in one God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and all of that. As I'm reading it, I noticed that something changed on the inside of me. Something was different. And but when I said something to my Sunday school teacher, you know, basically, you need to just be quiet. And so when I said something to my dad, he said, all that means that you just can't wear pants, you can't wear red nail polish, you can't wear rouge. And they called pants back then dungarees, you can't wear dungarees. And I can't. And so so this is 12. And so from 12 to about 18 or so, 22, I was on this quest to find out what happened to me. No one could tell me what happened to me in that instance. And so around age 22, just searching for the Lord, and ran into some good Church of Christ brothers and sisters who got me on the Roman road. And I realized, you know, that I actually then rededicated my life to the Lord. And then come around these crazy charismatic people. Hallelujah. And and so in doing that, I realized we had a Bible school at my church just like we do here. And in that study, I realized that we should pray for our pastor. I didn't know that. And so in being taught that, you know, just as green as the grass, I'd go home and just in my living room just begin to pray for my pastor. And as I began to do that, you know, I didn't know that we were supposed to have a particular pastor or a certain pastor. And in Jeremiah 3:15, it says, I will give you shepherds or a pastor. I will give you. So, you know, a lot of times even here, we have people who come and say, I'm looking for a church, or I'm looking for a church that has a good praise and worship team, or I'm looking for a good children's ministry. Really, what they need to be looking for is their pastor. Because he didn't say, I'll give you a church. He didn't say, I'll give you a good youth ministry. All of those things are important. But he said, in here, I will give you a shepherd according to my heart. Not that other shepherds aren't good, but you want the one that he has for your heart. For God's heart. Who will feed you with knowledge. And that word there literally is knowledge of God. Who would feed you with knowledge, the knowledge of God, and understanding. And that word there, understanding, you know, we say Greek words and we're probably slaughtering it, so I'm not even going to attempt to say the Greek word. I'm just going to give you the definition. To be wise. So these shepherds that they give us, that God has given us, that's after his own heart, they will feed us with the knowledge of God and with understanding. To be wise, behave wisely, to understand, be instructed, to wisely consider, to be prudent and intelligent. It describes a complex, intelligent thinking process that occurs when one observes, ponders, reasons, learns, and reaches a conclusion. The word is occasionally translated prosper. Isn't that interesting? When Raquel and Brian came here, they were in debt. But because they began hearing the word, they prospered. Because they find the pastor that was after God's own heart, that taught them the knowledge of God and understanding. And another derivative of that word is to give instruction, to make wise and skillful, to give instruction, to make wise and skillful. In 2001, I was living in Tennessee, and some changes had occurred, and as I was praying, I felt a sense or a change, a shift in my life. And so as I was praying, the Lord put Huntsville, Alabama in my heart. And so I knew I lived here before because I went to Alabama A&M University and graduated there in 1986. And so he started dealing with me to move back here. And kicking and screaming, I didn't want to do it. And so as I was praying, I said, Lord, I know in Jeremiah that you said you give us pastors after your own heart. And if you're moving me, that means that you have another pastor for me. And I wouldn't move until he showed me who my pastor was. My life, outside of what I do for a living, is integrated in my life in Christ. And so I knew in order to continue to benefit, to continue to grow, to continue to prosper, to continue to be wise and skillful in my life, I was going to have to find who my pastor was. And so I set my face to seek the Lord of who that was. And so in coming back here, I knew several people who were pastors. And so I was, you know, had them in mind as I was praying. But the Lord showed me Pastor Mark's face in a time of prayer. I'm underneath my coffee table in my little 690 square foot apartment. and he shows me his face. And so that weekend, it was Thanksgiving weekend, and I decided some friends of mine, they were going to be out of town, and I came and stayed with them. And so I came down here and spied out the land, so to speak. Drove around and prayed, went up on Mount Desano and prayed, looked over the city and all of that, and I came to church on Sunday. So when I came to church on that Sunday, I was sitting on the back row of the church, and so Pastor Mark came out to minister. And I had visited the church before and for special meetings. And so when he saw me, when he walked out, we saw each other, and he knew me from where I was attending church before. And it's getting close to the end of the service. and my purpose in being here is I need God to talk to me. And so he hadn't said anything, you know, audibly yet that I can hang my hat on. So at the end of the service, I said, Lord, if you're not going to talk to me in this service, it's just going to be me and you in the car on the way home. And so if you're going to do something to confirm to me that this is where I'm supposed to be, you're going to have to do something. And so right about that time, Pastor Mark was closing out the service, and he said, I don't usually do this, he said, but if you need prayer, come down here. And I thought, well, if I ever need prayer, I need prayer today, that's for sure. So I went down there, and as I was coming up the aisle, he said to me, he said, when I walked out and I saw you, the Holy Ghost gave me something for you. He said, let's believe God for it to come back. And I'm like, oh, I'm all in faith now. Yeah, oh, okay. And so he grabbed my hand and began to pray. And he didn't know anything about my life and what was going on, but began to prophesy to me that the decision that I was about to make was the right thing, the move that I was make is the right thing. All of that stuff that I needed from the Lord confirmed it. Hallelujah. So I got my answer. Praise the Lord. So I went back up on the mountain that afternoon and rejoiced and thanked the Lord for it. And then when I got home that night, I got a phone call from two other ministries asking me to come work for them. Now I'm going to have to decide, did I hear from God this morning? Is he my pastor, or do I need to look for another, so to speak? And so I called a dear friend of mine and said to him, you know, what had happened that day. And they said, you're going to have to call them and tell them no. I went, all right. Reluctantly, I went ahead and did it and went ahead and moved down here in 2002 and been here ever since. And like Raquel was talking about, my life has taken off since then. Amen. Glory to God. And that's finding your pastor, finding that place, that person that God has set aside for you to speak into your life, to give instruction to you, to give correction to you. Praise the Lord. Just keep looking straight. Hallelujah. And so it's important for us to know that. In the Word of God, it talks about the word pastor, elder, and overseer. We can see it used interchangeably in the New Testament. Jesus thought this office was important because in John chapter 10, with Peter, he said, feed my sheep, tend my sheep. So it was important to him that when he went away, that Peter would be here to tend and feed his sheep, just like he would be if he was here. Over in 1 Timothy, Paul talks about over there, pastor, elder, overseer. In 1 Timothy 3:2 and in Titus 1:9, bring the flock into maturity. We read that in Ephesians. To guard them from false teachers and warn them who try to go astray. In 1 Peter 5:1-2, Peter talks about in here, the elders shepherd the flock of God, serve as overseers, caring for the flock as they wait for the chief shepherd to come. And so the Lord is important. This office of the pastor is important to him. So much so he talked to Peter about it before he left. So much so that Paul talks about it in his writings. So much so that Peter talks about it in his writings. And there's other places throughout the Word of God. So this office is important to us. Why? Pastor Mark Brzee, I think he stole this from John Osteen. But he said that you look at apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. So the fivefold ministry gifts. The apostle is the thumb because it can reach the other gifts. When it goes to other places and plows up territory, so to speak, sometimes it has to touch those other offices in order to plow the land or do whatever God needs them to do. The index finger is the prophet because it points the way. The middle finger is the evangelist because it's the furthest reaching. The ring finger is the pastor because he's married to the church. And then the pinky finger, it gets in your ear, the teacher. The teacher gets in your ear. And so those five offices are important to God. And so, but the shepherd, the pastor, the elder, the overseer is the one that's married to the church. He stays with them all the time. He sees you with your makeup. He sees you without your makeup. He sees you when you're having a good day, when you don't have a good day. Brother Copeland, I heard him say one time, he said to a pastor, he said, I don't see how you do it. He said, "I, you see the same faces every day and every service. I can't handle it. I can't handle it. And the pastor said to him, I don't see how you do it. You see different faces every time you go to minister. Every service you're in, you see different faces. What the pastor does is they like to see the progress of the sheep. They are married to them because when they like to see your eyes light up when you've heard the word or got revelation about something. It helps them to know that you're being grown up, you're being matured in the Word of God. And they get to see the progress of that when they're married to you. Those of you that were married your first year, did your spouse see progress in you? Because they were married to you. Amen? You got awfully quiet right there. I don't know. Hallelujah. They stick with us when we're not at our best. They stick with us when we're making wrong decisions. They stick with us when we're sick. They stick with us when we don't have money in the bank. There's a covenant that's there that causes them not only a covenant this way, but a covenant this way. Because they're going to have to give an account, the Word of God says in Hebrews. So the Lord said to Peter, tend and feed my sheep. So Peter, or those who are in that office of pastor, if they're not doing that, they're going to have to give an account to God of why they didn't. Brother Hagin said that the last church that he pastored, he didn't teach on prosperity there. He didn't teach the people to give. And so for whatever reason, I don't remember the reason why he didn't do it now, but he's out on the road like 2 or 3 years later. And while he's out on the road, the Lord deals with him and said, you're going to have to go back to that last church you pastor and teach them about prosperity. He said, because you did them a disservice in not teaching them to give. It was important to God. He was a shepherd. And so he was supposed to break open the word to them, regarding as much counsel in the word of God as possible. But for whatever reason, sometimes people back off on it. I heard a minister not long ago say he backed off on it because there was so much persecution when they were with people talking to you just want people's money. But what God is not just trying to, he wants you prosperous. But in order to do that, he needs you to cooperate with his laws of giving and receiving. And so it's their responsibility to teach us that. Over in Timothy, it talks about for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness and all that. And we like the good stuff. But we don't like the reproof. I don't like reproof. But God loves me. Hallelujah. And those he corrects, he loves. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he made him go back because there was a deficit left in those people that he as a shepherd did not take care of when he shepherded them. A gift. So what do we do with gifts? First of all, we receive them, right? When you have been given a gift, you got to hold your hands out and receive the gift, or at least make your lap available for them to sit the gift on for you to receive it. So Jesus said in the Gospels, he who receives me receives my Father. And those who I send in my name, if you receive them, you receive me. And so with the gift that he's given us, we have to receive it. We have to take it into ourselves. With Dr. Mary Frances, when she got that gift, she was just looking at it. She received it. But the gift wasn't on the outside. The gift was on the inside. The value of what she had in her hand was on the inside. So being enamored with the wrapping, or wanting to get to know the wrapping or look at the wrapping, okay, what's the treasure on the inside? Let's go after the treasure on the inside. Hallelujah. The gift, yes, is in the wrapping. That's the only way it can be here. If the wrap is not here, that means the gift is not here. They're gone. So if the wrapping is here, that means there's a treasure on the inside that we need to come out. So forget the wrap. Let's rip off the wrapping, so to speak, and go after the gift on the inside. That gift that was given to you to help mature us up. That gift that was given to you to preach instruction in righteousness, to preach to you correction, to preach to you. Nobody likes correction. Anybody? Just like sign up for a correction? But it's needed for us to grow in maturity, isn't it? Hallelujah. So we receive the gift. Hallelujah to ourselves. What else do we do? We honor and esteem the gift. Once she opened that wrapper, what was on the inside, she loved what was on the inside even more than what the wrapping was on the outside. To honor and esteem that gift, hold it in high esteem, and value it. Now, I've watched little kids do this. They'll go, I know as a kid, we would go through the Sears and Roebuck catalog and tell our parents what we wanted out of that catalog, And we also had the Western Auto radio flyer book. We go through there and what bicycles and wagons and whatever we wanted, all of that. And so I watch kids go, I want this, I want this, I want this. And then when they get it, they play with the box. Yeah. Or play with a bowl and a wooden spoon and leave the gift set aside. And you're thinking, worked how many hours to get that thing you said you just had to have, and by the midday on Christmas Day don't even know where it is. And does it make you want to go out and get it for them again? No, because they're not valuing it, or they stepped on it, all kinds of things.
Well, he wants us to value the gift that we have and hold it in high esteem. Father, thank you for this gift that you give me because you love me, because you care about me. You gave me this gift, someone after your own heart that would teach me with knowledge and with understanding, that would grow and mature me and help me be the person that you want me to be. Amen. Glory to God. So, 1 Timothy 5:17 says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 and 13, now also we beseech you, brethren, get to know those who labor among you. Recognize them, I think this is in the Amplified, for recognize them for what they are. Acknowledge and appreciate and respect them all, your leaders who are over you in the Lord. And those who warn and kindly reprove, don't we like the kindly reproving? And exhort you and hold them a high and most affectionate esteem in intelligent and sympathetic appreciation of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. Another thing we can do is pray for the gift. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 2, let's turn over there. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. And for the sake of time, I'll go ahead and start reading. I exhort, therefore, that first of all. So Paul here is encouraging us to first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men and for kings and all that are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And one translation says reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So Paul is telling us here that first of all, we should pray for our leaders. Now, a lot of times we lean towards the government side of things, but, it's important also to pray for spiritual leaders, to pray for your pastors, to pray for spiritual leaders in the body of Christ, so that they can minister to all men. So it says to pray for kings and for all in authority that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life. Why? Because when they teach us and give us instruction in righteousness, when they do reprove us and all that, it causes things to be quiet in our life if we obey and receive what they've said to us. Amen? So a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. So these are some benefits. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. So in praying for our leaders, praying for our spiritual leaders, our pastors, praying for them, it can cause quiet. It can cause things to be peaceable with us. It can also cause, according to the scripture, all men to be saved. If they're going to be a doorway, like I was telling you earlier, that the Lord, their obedience makes a doorway. Here since, has it been since Easter, guys? We've been almost every Sunday, we've had people come back to the Lord. Isn't it been glorious? Pastor say he gets so excited about the end of the service when people are making their declaration for God that he has to slow down so he can preach the message because he wants to see lives transform so much. And so that's a doorway for people to come to the Lord. That is, for all men to come to the saving knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. Come to the knowledge of the truth. Come to the knowledge of the truth. What truth? The knowledge of God and with understanding. So as they're breaking forth the words of lie, they're coming to the knowledge of the truth that God is their healer. They come into the knowledge of the truth that God is their prosperity, that he became poor so that they can become rich. Come to the knowledge of the truth that that Jesus is their savior. Come to the knowledge of the truth that he is their peace. Not that he just provided peace. He is their peace. Hallelujah. He said, my peace I leave with you. Amen. Hallelujah. And so all of that knowledge of the truth of the word of God, I heard some knowledge of other things growing up that was not the truth that I had to unlearn by hearing the truth. That I would have benefited better if I had heard the truth instead. and not lived a quiet and peaceable life, and not a life that was not so quiet and peaceable. Hallelujah. So that all men would come to the knowledge of the truth. Last Wednesday, I think it was, Pastor asked me to pray in noon prayer. We've been praying a lot since November, I think, of last year for our government. For the highest officer of our land, for our mayors, governors, you know, all of that, law enforcement, what have you, military. And so before I knew it, I heard myself saying, truth is truth. Blurred lines don't make truth not truth. Truth is truth. We're coming to the knowledge of the truth. What is truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. And so what the spirit of this world is trying to do is blur the lines of, you know, well, truth is relative depending on what situation you're in. Truth is truth. Because if there are no absolutes with the truth, we need to get out of here. Amen? So the gifts that God has given us is teaching us the truth, the knowledge of the truth, which is the word of God. And Jesus said, I am truth. Hallelujah. So that's the standard that we would measure everything up against, is that he is truth. And everything is measured by that. Not what I say is truth. What the living word says is truth and what the written word says is truth. And we've been given gifts to help us with that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Whew. Praise the Lord. So whoever stands up here, we're particularly talking about our senior pastors and praying for them, we want to maximize on the gift on the inside of them. And so we're not just coming to play church and put it in our due time. They have words of life. Jesus asked the disciples when everybody was leaving him, when he said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. When I don't want no part of this. They were out of here. And he turned to his disciples and said, what you gonna do? And they said, Peter said, where we gonna go? You have the words of life. And so when we're here in this building, when we're here in this sanctuary, or whatever sanctuary we are on campus, we come here and gather here to hear the words of life that's gonna change our life. Amen. And so not just to come and put our time in. I came on Wednesday night. I came on Thursday night. I came on Sunday. Da, 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 da. No, there's life for us coming out of who's ministering for our life. And so we want to draw on that. So on the way, on Saturday night, sometimes on Thursdays, on Saturday night, if I can't get to it on Thursday, I come down here and pray. And I walk through here and pray, and I thank the Lord for utterance and unction on Sunday morning. For those that are coming, that their hearts are break up the fallow ground. Holy Ghost, break up the fallow ground. Start preparing people's hearts to receive the word of God. But even my heart, preparing my heart to receive the word of God. What you have for me that day, there's something that you have for me that's meat for me that day. Hallelujah. There's a dog eat dog world out there. I don't need to come in here and get my emotions all revved out, although my emotions need God. But when I start running and jumping and all that, when I hit the ground, I need to be able to walk through this life for the week. And I need a word from heaven, hot bread from heaven, to help me through the day, through the week, through the moment. Hallelujah. And so Sunday morning, Pastor First Service gave a hot message on hope lives. Yeah. But second service, there was some cinema roll on top of it with some peanut butter or I don't know, whatever you like on top of your hot bread. Man, oh man, oh man, what's it, Manischewitz? There's so many commercials. Oh my goodness. And first service was good. And I would have been satisfied with first service if I hadn't sat in second. And so that's my teaser for you to go back and watch second service. Because he was teaching on hope. Listen, he talked about how the Lord told him that hope is not just a confident expectation, but a confident, joyful. So something happened from 9 o'clock to 11. Back there in the ready room. Something happened. But that's what you want to come for. That hot. Again, it was good. And if he had preached first service like second service like he did first service, we all would have been happy. But we saw a difference. Hallelujah. And we know we can have more. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we want more of that. Glory to God. And what does it do? I mean, I went back and watched it earlier today. I started to last night, but I got busy doing something and they couldn't watch it. But today, I want to tear my office up. I mean, that same presence that was in this room on Sunday morning, that's what I'm talking about. Draw on. Lord, that's mine. I want that. Yeah, you know, when you're coming to church, don't just listen to the radio in the car. Father, I thank you. I'm meeting you at church. You have a word for my life today. You have something inspirational to speak to me, that for my family, for me today, to live on for this week. To minister to someone else. Because it's not just about us being blessed, but to be a blessing. Hallelujah. Glory. Whew, I got to hurry. I have some scriptures to give you, but there's too many for me to give you. Let's stand up. Whew, I preached myself happy. Glory to God. So next time I have the opportunity to minister to you, we'll talk about some scriptures that the Lord showed me that we can pray regarding our pastors. But when someone gives you a gift, which we've been talking about tonight, what is the proper thing to do?
Thank you.
Guys, Wesley, can you pick that picture up? Hallelujah. And so this is your gift. God gave you a gift that would teach you with knowledge and understanding. He gave it to you. So you receive that gift. You esteem and honor that gift. You pray for that gift, which we're going to talk about at another time. But let's just thank the Lord for that gift. Let's thank the Lord for their obedience. Let's thank the Lord that they have vision and plans. Thank the Lord that they obeyed 25 years ago when God was dealing with them. Let's just thank, Father, we just thank you tonight for the gift that you've given us through Mark and Rhonda Garver. Father, we thank you that he didn't decide to go ahead and go to Brazil, that she decided to come to Madison, Alabama, and Father, that she obeyed the will of God, and even though India burned in her heart, that she made a stop through here, and Father, was divinely intercepted and came to this place. Thank you, God, for their lives intercepting one another, and that you join them together to run this race together, to raise up this work in Madison, Alabama. Father, thank you that on that day that when he went to Brazil, he heard last call, Huntsville, Alabama, and he obeyed. Father, I thank you, Father God, that when she went to Florida to pray, that she decided that she would obey God and that God would make up the difference in India. Father, I thank you that when she came through here with her friends, that she went away to pray, that she accepted the man that you put in her life, and he accepted the woman that you put in his life. And Father, that they even wrote the vision of this church together before they were even joined together in marriage. Father, I thank you for the vision that they have, Father, that is of you. Father, I thank you that you've given us pastors after your own heart. Father, I thank you that you've given them, you're feeding them, you're giving them things for us. Father, I thank you that they're healed in their mortal bodies. Father, I thank you that you're quickening their mortal bodies. Father, I thank you that health and wholeness belongs to them. Father, I thank you that the blood of Jesus, the broken body of Jesus, belongs to them because he took sickness upon his body for them. Father, I thank you that their mind, their soul, mind, will, and emotion are saved. Their soul is being saved, possessed by you. Father, I thank you that in their home it's peaceable and it's quiet and it's kind. Father, I thank you that with their daughter, with their children. Father, I thank you for protection and safety for each and every member of their family. Father, I thank you for their finances, that you bless them financially so they don't have to struggle or even worry about that, so they can go on and do the work of the gospel. Father, I thank you that you perfect everything that concerns them. Father, I thank you. You said that if they would obey, if they would do the vision that you put in their heart to do. Father, I thank you. You said you perfect everything. 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 Everything that concerns them. You would perfect it. Bring it to maturity. Bring it to completion. You would do everything. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. You are the way maker for them. Hallelujah. Where they don't see it, you're working. Oh, Father, I thank you. You're working. You're working for them. You're working things out, desires that they have. Maybe they're not even spoken out loud. Father, I thank you for bringing them to pass. Hallelujah. In this year of double jubilee, you're working things out for them. Father, I thank you as they obey you. Hallelujah. Father, even more comes to them regarding the vision. More comes to them of things that are out ahead. More things come to them, Father God. I thank you that you're adding unto the church daily. Daily, such as should be saved. Hallelujah. Adding to the church daily those that should be saved. Father, we thank you that as they obey you, people are getting born again. We thank you as they obey you that people are renewing their fellowship with you. As they obey you, people's bodies are being healed and set free. Father, people's minds are being made whole and peaceable. Father, I thank you as they obey you that you're working things out for their good. Hallelujah. We rejoice in God our Savior. We rejoice for the gifts that you've given us. We receive the gifts that you've given us. We thank you for the gifts that you've given us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we thank you for rest for their bodies, that they enjoy a Sabbath rest in their bodies. Hallelujah. Supernatural rest comes upon them. Thank you, Father God, that their sleep is sweet. As they go to lay down, their sleep is sweet because you give your beloved sweet sleep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. Give sense of prizes. You're adding things to them. Bring back they are a doorway. They're in their obedience. They are a doorway. They are a doorway for us. They are a doorway for those that will believe. They are a doorway for those that will come to this church. Hallelujah. And receive the word of God. They are a doorway. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that in the years that they have left, the next 25, beyond this 25, you increase their effectiveness in ministry. Father, I thank you that you show them how to focus and how to maximize on the time that we have left on this planet before Jesus splits the eastern sky. Father, I thank you. They're clear. They understand the plan and the vision clearly. Clearly. We watch and we stand on the wall and we protect and we watch over them tonight. Hallelujah. Every tongue that rises up against them in judgment shall be found in the wrong, shall be found in the wrong, shall be condemned. And the vision increases and the vision widens. Expanding areas of ministry, adding to them areas of ministry, expanding the ministry even to other nations. Nothing can stop this mighty moving force. Nothing can stop. God's on our side. God's on their side. Hallelujah. God is on their side. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you for the gifts. We thank you for the gifts. Father, even on the inside of them, things that have not even heretofore come out of them yet, that you've been holding in reserve for this time, for this season. Father, things that have lying dormant on the inside of them, you come forth in the name of Jesus. Utterances come forth in the name of Jesus for this season, for this time, for this town, for this city, for this state, for this nation, for nations that you would send them to. Hallelujah. And then make us call up preserved for the last days, preparing a people for the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Preparing a people for the coming of the Lord. That pioneer spirit that's on the inside of them that makes the way, that makes the way for the King to come, that makes the way for Jesus to come, that makes a way. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Oh, sealed by the blood of Jesus. Sealed and protected by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is against anything that would try to harm them or hurt them or this place. This plan is protected. This plan is protected by the blood. This blood, this plan is watched over by the blood of Jesus. You cannot cross this bloodline. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus is against. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, will not prevail against it, will not. Hallelujah. Oh, bregash karabaka saraban. Glory. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I will build my church. You know who the church is? You. Yes, it is a building. Yeah, it is the body of Christ. But the church is you. The gates of hell will not prevail against you. Hallelujah. Because you make up the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, Father, we just thank you tonight for your utterance and your unction. We thank you tonight that you're with us. As every one of us leave this place tonight, I thank you for your divine protection over each and every one. Father, I thank you for renewed fellowship on the inside, a hunger and a desire and a thirst to know your word even more. And, Father, we esteem and hold in high honor the gifts that you've given us. And, Father, I thank you as they give an account for us, we will give an account also that we took good care of them as well. In Jesus' name.
We hope you're inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org. Check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWOLMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know him so you too can make him known.